Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you here on this Tuesday night. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media at 92.9 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. At JMCH316, at the D. Lewis for real. We will have Rankin coming up at 10:40 this evening. Braves are in a weather delay right now, so no update as far as a specific start time. So we'll see what happens there. But the Braves are in a rain delay right now, so they have been delayed from the start of this game. This United look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. Now, Pro Football Focus. We've been going through these rankings of the top 32 players at the various positions. Day-Day, they have the top 32 centers in the NFL going into this season. Do you think that Drew Dahlman did or did not make the list?
That would be bad if he did not make the list. So I'm going to say yes.
Yes, he did. And I am shocked
really?
At this.
He shocked came, that he made it or where he is?
Both, but especially where he is. He came in at number 13 on this list of the top 32 centers. In only his second year in the league, Dahlman ranked 11th among centers with a 69.5 Pro Football Focus run blocking grade. There's room for improvement in pass protection, where his 27 total pressures allowed were the fifth most at the position, but if he can do that, then he is set for another impressive season. He's also got to learn how to hike the football, too, though. Look at this. Creed Humphrey is rated as the number one center, huh? And he was a second-round pick out of Oklahoma, and he's protecting Pat Mahomes, huh? How about that? Oh, sorry. That's another one of those interesting, you know, things, huh? But guys like that don't make a difference, right? I mean, he's only the number one center, and, you know, they have a great offense on. But anyway, but I'm amazed. Amazed that, and again, they have their guys and they like some of their guys. I'm amazed that he is number 13. Do I think he's the 13th best center in the NFL? Not a chance. And again, this is one of those times where we probably watch, because we watch more Falcons football than they do, that you get a little bit jaded on some of these things. Again, I think you should make the list. And he definitely played better as the year went along. But 13th? That makes him a top-half center. Does he look like a guy who's a top-half center in the NFL right now? Does he look like a guy who's in the top half of the league at that position? I would tell you no. But, again, they like some of their guys. And, you know, look, he is a good run blocker. And he's a guy that you again – his problem is, just like what Matt Hennessy's problem is, they're undersized. And when you start pass protecting, that's when the flaws and the warts come out. Same thing with Caleb McGarry. If you can keep them in their lane and you can keep them narrow focused and let him play in a phone booth where he's moving forward all the time, then you've got your shot. Oh, and by the way, he plays arm-in-arm with the best interior offensive lineman in the NFL in Chris Lindstrom, or at least one of the two or three best interior offensive linemen in the NFL. Certainly is an excellent guard, and he got paid that way. But, again, we saw 2 years ago what happens when you have two guys that are not very good in Jalen Mayfield and Matt Hennessy play side by side. You can get away with one of those guys. You're not going to sneak around in the NFL and get away with two of those guys, and especially if they stand side by side. So, again, I'm amazed. I think that's a really high rating for him, where usually a lot of the Falcons players don't have high rankings in these kinds of lists. But, hey, interesting to see. And, obviously, look, he's a guy that, you know, you hope that he takes that big step because, again, you know, standing next to Bergeron, who's going to be learning the position and learning to play interior offensive lineman, we've got to have some stability at that center position. All right. Our buddy Bucky Brooks has got his all-NFL breakout team on the defensive side of the football. He's got Gregory Rousseau, George Karloftis, Deontay Wyatt, Derek Brown, N'Kobe Dean, and then also on this list of linebackers is Caden Ellis. The former special team standout created a buzz in league circles last season with his strong performance as New Orleans' third linebacker and emergency fill-in for Pete Werner. Ellis notched 6 of his 7 sacks over the Saints' final 9 games, showing the football world that he could thrive as a full-time starter. After inking a 3-year, $21.5 million deal with the rival Falcons, the former 7th-round pick could put up the kind of numbers that make him a household name by the end of 2023. Now, that's high praise. There's good news being floated by all these NFL analysts here. Look, if you look at what his contract projection said it was going to be, and again, until you put pen to paper, everything is a crapshoot. But what his projection was that he, again, was a guy that was probably in that $5-5.5 million range. It turned out that he was averaging over $7 million a year. So, again, you can say the Falcons overpaid for him, but, you know, again, I don't know what overpaying. When it's only 3 for $21.5 million, I don't know if you overpaid for a guy. But certainly the numbers were not – certainly the numbers were lower for what was expected for what he was going to sign. And, again, he's had one good year in 4. That's the only thing that scares me is, yes – again, you can catch the league off, you know, as a surprise, you know, in that 1 year, but can you do it consistently? Can you catch the league off guard, or are you so talented that you're above and away, you know, some of these other guys in the league? So, again, it will be interesting to see. I think Caden Ellis is going to play in a couple of different positions. You know, we hear the buzzword, you know, positionless football. But Ellis can play some inside. He can play outside. And I think he's going to get a chance to rush the quarterback. I think that if you look, that he's going to get that shot to rush the quarterback and get after him. And look, we need all the guys we can get to have 6 or 7 sacks. We need as many guys as humanly possible to find their way to getting 6 or 7 sacks. I want 10 guys with 6 or 7 sacks. How about that? I'll take not having a guy in double digits if you can tell me 10 guys average 7 sacks. I need 10 players to average 7 sacks. Tell me that, and then I'll feel good about it. But, again, high praise for Caden Ellis. You know, high praise for him. So, you know, it's, again, more good news out of the Falcons camp. All right, let's spend the trifecta of good news. Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football has his top 5 breakout wide receivers of 2023. So this upcoming season, These are the five guys that Peter Schrager has as his breakout candidates. Garrett Wilson, number one. Wasn't Garrett Wilson the offensive rookie of the year? Day-Day, wasn't Garrett Wilson the offensive rookie of the year? Day-Day, are you still alive? Are you still trying to find that Mets song? Or?
Yeah, I'm still looking for the Mets
song. Wasn't Garrett Wilson the offensive rookie of the year in the NFL?
I need to double check, but I feel like he was. Yeah,
I think he won the offensive rookie of the year. So, again, I would hope he breaks out. I mean, he was the rookie of the year offensively. Chris Olave. Obviously, the two Ohio State wide receivers, Wilson and Olave, those guys were really good. How'd they not win a national title in college? I mean, when you think back about what Ohio State had in their wide receiver room, you know, a couple of years ago, Wilson, Olave, Marvin Harrison, Igbuka. Yeah, he was the rookie of the he was the offensive rookie of the year. Well, yeah. I mean,
yep, out of Lake Travis.
Yeah, and wasn't Sauce Gardner the offensive or sorry the defensive rookie
defensive,
of the year?
Yeah. That's right. That was a big deal because they got both. Yeah. I do remember.
Yeah. Sauce Gardner's a tremendous player. So anyway, so Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave coming in at number three, Drake London, and then Tyquan Thornton. And Justin Ross comes in at number five. So, again, high praise for an Atlanta Falcons player and wide receiver. Now, look, I'm going to be curious to see how many targets Drake London ends up getting at the end of the day. Like, I'm going to be curious to see what his target total was or what it's going to be for this upcoming season. Last year, he had 117 targets to lead this team. Now, again, they only got 10 games out of Kyle Pitts. And with Patterson having some injuries, obviously Tyler Algier played a bunch but didn't start a whole lot. Now you add in the mix Bijan Robinson. Now you add in the mix Jonnu Smith. And I wonder if that same 117 targets are going to be there. Are those same number of targets going to be available to him? And I'm not disputing. Now, I do think his catch percentage has to go up. He was only 61.5%. I think if he can get that, 67-68%, now we got something there. But I wonder if he's going to get the same 117 targets. Maybe he will, because maybe we'll throw the ball a little bit more. Obviously, we were one of the least, passing teams in the NFL, right? We're still going to be a run-heavy team, but maybe we balance out a little bit more. So I wonder if that 117 target number is going to be comparable to what he had last year. And I'll say, look, he had 72 catches for 866 yards last year. Okay, let's say he gets 65 catches. He brings that yards per reception up to 14 or 15, and he takes the four touchdowns and doubles that number. Okay, now I'm in on Drake London, because I'll let him have, even if he has less catches, 65. But he increases his yards per reception and doubles his touchdown total. Now we got some, and increases catch percentage. Increases catch percentage. Go to about 67-68% in catch percentage. Okay. Now we got something. Now we're cooking with grease here. So should be interesting to see what happens. But again, all good news for all these Atlanta Falcons players. So, everywhere we turn is more good news for the Atlanta Falcons. All right, when we get back, Pat Benson is going to join us. We'll talk some Atlanta Hawks with him in this offseason coming up. Chuck me in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, now to the game, Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is a John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Tuesday evening. As well, listen, the Atlanta Hawks, besides just the offseason, we may have some scrubbing of social media going on around these parts. So let's head out to the waitforit.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Pat Benson. Covers sneakers for Fan Nation, covers the Atlanta Hawks as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Pat_Benson_Jr. Pat, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes, man. Thanks for jumping on the show with us.
As always, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, John.
So, you know, what do we make of this sneaker scrubbing and, you know, all these things about, you know, everything Atlanta Hawks related has been scrubbed off of Trae Young? I mean, anything to read here, or, you know, is it just a whole lot of nothingness?
Yeah, so I think for everybody else who may not be as plugged in as you and me, as much as we are, so basically Trae Young, he updated his social media account, and it just basically promotes his update, his unreleased sneaker, his third signature sneaker with Adidas. However, what you're referring to as scrubbed is there's no more reference to the Atlanta Hawks. And I think this one is maybe a little bit overblown just because Trae Young, he messes with his social media accounts a lot. I don't think he's signaling anything to us that he's wanting out or requesting a trade or anything like that. I think a few different, you know, social media accounts, not to pin this on anybody, kind of took it and ran with it. And now it's become this story. So I'm not ready to signal the alarm yet.
More importantly, what did you think about Trae Young's comments? Let's start with the Nate McMillan comments about how good of friends they were and it was hard and this, that, and the other. While I understand that they were not going to just, you know, have a fist fight in the locker room, yeah, or in the hallway, you know, look, there, where there's smoke, there's fire. And there was angst between those two. And, you know, again, I definitely think that there was a philosophical difference in some things. But what did you make about his comments when he talked about Nate McMillan?
Yeah, so I thought the whole thing was interesting. On the day of game 1 of the NBA Finals, Trae put out the first episode of his podcast. And as expected, he is pretty diplomatic when it came to discussing his former coaches, especially Nate McMillan. And in a to your larger point, I think Trey is going to have to be, you know, really careful, you know, and he will be careful not to say the wrong things on those podcasts. But yeah, I mean, nobody's buying that. We know that they had that big falling out during a morning shoot around. I want to say it was in November, December. It was back there in the fall. And Trey didn't even come to the arena that night. And it really made McMillan look bad. The team ended up winning anyway, despite Young's absence. So, yeah, I mean, we know that they did not always get along. And that's okay. That's normal. That's part of the NBA. Coaches and players don't always get along. But I don't think anybody's buying that they're, you know, that they were great friends. I'm sure they're still cordial if they ever cross paths. But that coaching change does not take place without Trey's stamp of approval.
Right.
So I don't think anybody's buying that.
Pat Benson covering the Hawks for SI.com, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. The other part of the comment that I thought was very interesting is talking about Quinn Snyder and the idea of, and we've heard this from Trey and some other players, the idea of shooting more threes. Now, Pat, they were 21st in the NBA in three-point shooting. And I say that because, you know, when you saw this team at times, I mean, it wasn't just Trey Young. I mean, they were a – look, John Collins was a very poor three-point shooter this year. And the idea of that that Quinn Snyder wants them to shoot more threes, I mean, I understand some of the philosophy behind it, but I'm not sure that in a practical sense it makes a lot of sense for the Hawks to do that.
As the roster is constructed, you're exactly right. Right now, they're not the best three-point shooting team, but I think significant changes are coming this offseason. It's Landry Fields and Kyle Korver's first full offseason as the head of front office. It's Quinn Snyder's first full offseason as the head coach. So no doubt they're going to remake the team to make it more, you know, just to add some outside shooters. I think they overcorrected last year, last summer, because defense was such an issue. They were one of the top 2-3-point shooting teams in the 21-22 season, but then they overcorrected the following offseason, most notably with the terrible Kevin Huerter trade. You know, we won't go into that one. So now I guess they're going to try to add some outside shooters, and you're right. Right now, they don't need to be shooting a lot of threes, but hopefully after shuffling the roster around a little bit, they'll be able to compete, because it's obviously a three-point shooting league.
Pat, I'm all on the Jaylen Brown train, and I want to do whatever they have to do to try to find a way to bring him in. But aside from a Jaylen Brown, is there a player or two that you think the Hawks could be in the mix for in a trade scenario? I mean, obviously, if they're going to look to change this thing up, they're going to have to trade some players because, again, there's no free agents by and large. I mean, other than, you know, a couple of, you know, vagabonds, but I mean, there's no real free agents on this team. So it's going to have to be through trade. Is there a guy or two that you've identified that you think could be a good fit for this team?
I think it's been quiet so far. I haven't heard any tangible reports involving the Hawks. I think the Jaylen Brown stuff is kind of a meme at this point. It's still a bit of a joke. And like you said, it's going to require packaging together multiple players to put together any kind of real offer if they're looking to bring back a star player. And right now, there's just no indication that that's the case. But you know what? The good news is we'll get an answer in 16 days, or at least we'll get a preliminary answer, because the NBA draft is on June 22nd, and that will be the very first moves of the offseason. So they're going to have to tip their hand a little bit, because we're going to get an idea, you know, what they do with their draft picks, whether they draft them, whether they trade them. We'll start getting an idea in just over 2 weeks.
With the fact that, again, most of your team is under contract, you know, with that 15th pick, I understand the idea of best available player, but doesn't that feel like a pick that is immediately going to report to College Park? I mean, isn't that a guy who you draft and you stash him down in the G League? Because I just don't see how a rookie is really going to get any minutes that would be worthwhile versus having a guy playing every night down in the G League for College Park.
Yeah, I mean, historically speaking, you're right. I think A.J. Griffin really surpassed those expectations. He, you know, nobody was expecting him to play or play as well as he did this season. But you're right. Usually, most of the time, if you're in the middle of the first round, you're taking on a project more than a prospect. So, yeah, I mean, I think they could use the Chief contract, though, right now. Without doing anything, without making any moves, the Hawks are already $8 million over the luxury tax, and they've got to find a way to improve the roster anyway. So that's why all eyes are on this NBA draft, because we're going to get an idea of what they plan to do. And I think it makes sense to draft a player, you know, try to develop him, and just benefit from having a cheap contract at the end of the bench.
What'd you think about the hiring of a Brittany Donaldson? She becomes the first female coach in Atlanta Hawks history and going to do a lot of things with analytics, and obviously she's got that kind of background. What'd you think about that hire?
Very impressive. She has a very impressive resume. She's only 30 years old. I'm 33, so immediately, you know, when you hear a coach being hired that's younger than you, you have to reevaluate what you're doing with your life, because she's really got a resume, and I think she's going to be great. Super analytical and very well versed in player development, so I think she's going to be an excellent addition to Snyder's staff, which is really, really bulked up when you look at the different pieces like Mike Bray that he's added. So, yeah, I'm excited about everybody Snyder's added to his coaching staff.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about that. I mean, you know, there's been some interesting folks that have been part of this staff. I mean, you know, Mike Bray, I think what Antonio Lang is here now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brittany Donaldson. I mean, there are some very interesting pieces, and maybe, you know, some people that are, I don't know how to say this, I mean, retreads or things like that. I mean, but,
yeah,
you know, but I think that there's a eclectic mix, let's say, of guys and girls that are on this staff right now for him.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of different demographics, different ages, different backgrounds. I think that would be great. I think one thing about McMillan's staff is, although they were definitely – they have plenty of experience, a lot of them, like you said, what kind of retreads, you know, some veteran coaches who have been around for a while. And it seems like this new coaching staff has a good mix of young blood, young talent, and as well as some older, wiser coaches, more experience. So I have full faith in Snyder and the new front office. They know what they're doing.
You know, it was interesting because we got, I don't know, not too long after the Nate McMillan firing and when Quinn Snyder was, you know, being hired, we got all the press conferences from Tony Ressler. And when I say mm-hmm. press conferences, the media yeah. rounds and things like that. But it's been very quiet, and I understand that he wants his guys to do things. But I do think that I think going into this off season, I do think that there has to be some clarification about the direction we're going to go. To your point, they're $9 million over. They're $9 million into the luxury tax as is, just standing pat, and. Again, am I going to have to wait for moves to see whether or not they're going to stay in the luxury tax, or you know what I mean? I think that there are yeah. some things that Tony Ressler would do himself well to give some Hawks fans more faith yeah. and confidence about the direction of what the franchise is going to have.
You're right. That's an interesting observation. We haven't heard from Tony Ressler for a while. I think he felt kind of burned, whether it was self-inflicted or however you want to look at it, after the coaching changes and the front office overhaul midseason. I think he was tired of being the story himself. So since then, we really haven't heard from him. I remember last year after the season ended, he held a press conference, mm-hmm. and that didn't happen this spring. So you're right. I think he wanted to take a step back, let Fields and Korver and Snyder, you know, be the face of the organization. But yeah, it would be nice to hear from the owner. We haven't heard from him in some time, and I don't see how they're going to avoid the luxury tax, to be honest. I don't think they're going to be able to do any more backflips or gymnastics to avoid it. I think it is happening. Now it's just a matter of trying to improve the roster.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. It's just sometimes you want to feel like you have the direction from the top, right? I mean, mm-hmm. again, Landry, I mean, say what you want about Landry Fields or Kyle Korver or Quinn Snyder mm-hmm. when it comes to personnel. if Tony Ressler ain't going to go in the luxury tax, Tony Ressler ain't going in the luxury tax. It ain't going to be Kyle Korver, or Landry Fields, or Quinn Snyder's decision. If he doesn't want to go in the luxury tax, they're going to do what they did with Herter last year and move on from that $64 million extension that he signed. So, you know, that's why I say that some, you know, again, leadership is one of those things that starts at the top and goes down. And it would feel like that it would give a lot more confidence to Hawks fans if you just, if you heard just even a little bit from the other. Not talking about, you know, some of the things where, well, we're collaborative and we're communicative. Mm-hmm. No, concrete things, tangible things about, okay, we know we need to be in the luxury tax this year. Boom. You know, I mean, you say things like that, and you don't kind of dance around the idea of, well, we're collaborative and communicative. I mean, that's why I think that the owner could come out and just make Hawks fans feel better, because I have all of these questions that I would want to ask and say, okay, what's the direction of what we're going to do?
You know, at first I was skeptical because I was thinking, why do we really want to be lied to again? Because he's hinted at, you know, like you said, he's danced around the subject of the luxury tax before, and he's led us to believe before that he was willing to pay luxury tax, and that didn't come to fruition. But you're right. I would like, you convinced me, I would like some concrete benchmarks. Like, yes, we are willing to go over the luxury tax. Our goal this year is to advance to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Yeah, as someone coming from the business world, he's a titan in the corporate world where it's all very results driven. Yeah, I would love to hear some concrete benchmarks from Tony Ressler. I think that would help a lot of Hawks fans rest easy.
What do you think is the goal that Quinn Snyder and this team has to achieve for this year?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's less about Quinn Snyder at this point and more about Trae Young at this point, because Quinn Snyder's entering the second of a four or five year contract. So he's still, building something, whereas Trae Young, he's been the face of the franchise since 2018. And at this point, I think it's he needs to bounce back after a pretty rough individual season. It ended on a pretty high note individually for him, but I think this season's more about Trae Young and less about Quinn Snyder. And I think it's time to get out of the first round, two straight first round exits after the miraculous conference finals run. So yeah, at this point, he's going to be 25 years old next season. This young core has been cooking together and been growing together for several years now. And it's time for them to, you know, it's time to see what the final product looks like before they throw in the towel on this young core altogether.
Sneaker reporter for Fan Nation, also covers Atlanta Hawks, Pat Benson Jr. joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Pat_Benson_Jr. And Pat, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes tonight. And, you know, as we'll be obviously talking through the offseason here, it's going to be fun times, and we'll see what kind of big changes come through.
I can't wait. Keep up the great work.
You got it. John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it, Chuck Reshow. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night. We'll get to a sports flash here in just a second. Braves look like it could be 9 o'clock before they get this game underway. So I'm hearing about 9 o'clock is what some of the reports are that are coming out of Braves camp. So we'll see what happens. But Braves right now in a weather delay. We'll get to our song here in just a second. You know, right now, Day-Day, they have the 30 for 30 of Bill Walton on. And I just kind of laugh at this. The ESPN caption of with this little video about Bill Walton, they say, during the 1974 NBA draft, Bill Walton was backpacking across the country. He didn't know he was drafted first overall until a grocery store worker told him. Did Bill Walton think he wasn't going to get drafted number one? Bill Walton is literally maybe the second best player in the entire history of the sport of college basketball. He'll never be number one because Lou Alcindor is far and away. Nobody even comes close to Lou Alcindor. But even in the year of our Lord, 2023, there aren't five guys in the history of college basketball better than Bill Walton. Where do you think he was going to get? Do you think he was just going to, they were just going to say, well, he's walking across the country camping. We're not going to draft him.
He probably just, what was he? You said it was that he was in the 74 draft?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the year I was born. So based on what I know about history, and his history in particular, dude, he was like a young hippie. He wasn't. He was probably spaced out.
Yeah, but again, if I could get back, I mean, I could have told you he would have been the first overall draft pick.
He probably knew. He probably just didn't care.
I mean, I didn't know if I was going to be drafted. Oh my God. I mean, seriously. These guys just, ugh. All right. All right, so I had to save you again because we went on my Twitter page and we found the song, right? You got it?
Yeah.
We got it? All right. All right. So in honor of the New York Mutts, who we will hopefully see here start up soon, like maybe 9 o'clock start, let's go ahead and play our song. Let's crank it up and let's go ahead and play it.
F the Mets.
F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring the kiddies. Bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
F the Mets.
F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring the kiddies. Bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life. I hate the Mets.
I see.
I hate them. I hate them. I hate Buck Showalter. I hate them all. I hate Pete Alonso. I hate all of them. I don't hate Scherzer. I love Scherzer. I love Verlander too. But F the Mets. Screw them. They can't get beat bad enough. And that. What's that guy's name? That Sal Bag of Donuts or whatever?
Sal Licata or something like that.
Yeah. Sal Licorice. He could pipe down too. Notice he isn't screaming and hollering about, you know, the division's over and anything like that. He learned his lesson.
Yeah, I was about to say he learned his lesson.
So, again, nice to see it. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully here at 9 o'clock we should get baseball underway. Bryce Elder and Carlos Carrasco. And again, the way these baseball games go, hell, it'll be an hour and a half and the game will be over, right? Games are moving along pretty fast. So hopefully here the Braves can get started here pretty quickly. So we'll see what happens. It does look like that guys are getting back on the field and kind of getting loosened up or whatever like that. I've seen guys walk around on the field out there. So hopefully this thing will get started up soon. All right. Hopefully the things get started soon. Let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, Day-Day, you weren't here on the show when a couple few years ago we talked about the idea of Santa Anita Racetrack. Have you ever heard of Santa Anita Racetrack?
Yeah.
Horse track?
Yeah. I used to live in California. So.
Okay. So you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Okay. A few years ago, they had over a 14-month period, something like 40 horses die.
Yeah.
Because the track was piss poor, to say the least.
Yep.
And there were broken legs. There were even... a couple of the injuries were like hips. The horse's hip was out of socket. Like, they were some of the craziest injuries that you'd ever heard of. Okay? Fast forward to 2023. Churchill Downs. What race is held at Churchill Downs on an annual basis, Day-Day? What race is, again, you have to come on the air.
Yeah.
What race is held at Churchill Downs in the state of Kentucky?
Oh, the Derby.
Yeah, the Kentucky Derby. Churchill Downs Incorporated is suspending racing operations on its iconic racetrack after a dozen horses have died over the previous month. The company said in a statement on its website. Obviously, it's the home of the Kentucky Derby. They said that it said it will also undergo an internal review of safety and surface protocols while the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission and Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority conducts an investigation. So you mean to tell me that they had to have a dozen horses die on this track before they said, yeah, you know what, this may not be safe? Not six horses, not eight horses, not even 10 horses. Now, once we get to 11, then we're going to suspend operations. Churchill Downs Incorporated CEO Bill Karstengen, quote, "What has happened at our track is simply upsetting, is deeply upsetting and absolutely unacceptable." Well, they let a dozen horses die. We need to take more time to conduct a top-to-bottom review of all of the details and circumstances so we can further strengthen our surface safety and integrity protocols. How about fix the track? How about do that? Fix the track. Something obviously has to be going on because we haven't heard about a dozen horses in a month dying at Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs said it has not been able to identify a single factor as to what is causing all the injuries or detected a pattern linked with the deaths, and reports from experts on the track have shown that there aren't any surface issues and is consistent with prior measurements taken from the track in years past. The company was in the middle of its spring meet, said operations will be suspended starting on June 7th and last through July 3rd. And the event will be relocated to Ellis Park in Henderson, Kentucky, starting this weekend. Quote, "In addition to our commitment to providing the safest race environment for our participants, we have an immense responsibility as the economic engine of the thoroughbred industry in Kentucky, which provides jobs, income, and that." See, that's why they didn't let a dozen horses die. It's all about the dollars. "By relocating the remainder of the meet to Ellis Park, we are able to maintain this industry ecosystem with only a minor disruption." I don't call a dozen horses dying on your track a minor disruption in a month. Not in a year, a month. "We're grateful to the Kentucky Horsemen for their support, resiliency, and continued partnership as we collectively," oh God, there's that word again, "work to find answers." Collectively, collaborative, communicative. How many ifs are we going to get? Senior Vice President Kathy Guillermo of PETA condemned the move in a statement to media outlets. Quote, Churchill Downs must not play Russian roulette with these horses' lives by simply shifting the problem elsewhere. Putting the bullet in a different chamber could have the same lethal outcome. Until racetracks install synthetic surfaces and utilize CT scanning equipment to detect injuries, among other improvements, they can't pretend to be mystified by fatalities. I agree. We just saw 40 horses over a year die at Santa Anita. At the point where they had to shut down the track of all operations because so many horses were dying of freak injuries. You know, not just a broken leg, but they said like hip joints were coming out of socket and different things like that. Like painful injuries to the horse. Again, I'm not a PETA fan, but doesn't there have to be at some point it's like, okay, 12 horses in a month? That's finally your tipping point? And by the way, there's a lot of money in some of these horses. Now, again, Santa Anita, the average horse costs somewhere between $10,000 and $30,000, which may not sound like a lot, but one is that's still money out of pocket. Two is you never know what that horse could be, and if it could have brought in millions of dollars at some point. But again, just from the animal perspective of it, how do we keep letting this happen? How does this keep happening? From two of the most legendary racetracks in the United States of America, literally two of the most iconic racetracks in horse racing history, we've seen all of these horses just dying on these tracks. Churchill Downs, Santa Anita. It doesn't get more tippy-top on the mountain than what those two tracks are. But again, it's all about the bucks, man. It's all about the bucks. A dozen horses die over a month period. Okay, well, now we probably have a problem. That's literally day-to-day a horse like every 2 days. Like, that's literally almost a horse every 2 days. I mean, it's crazy. And again, I don't imagine that they race 7 days a week at Churchill Downs. I don't imagine that there is a horse race. I don't know. I could not speak for what all the different horse racing events are. But again, even if it's 7 days a week of horse racing, don't you think that after you see six horses die in a two-week period of time, right? If it's 12 in a month, let's just average it out. Six horses die over a 14-day period. That didn't cause the red flags to start going up in the air and saying, wait a second, something is not right here. Something is drastically wrong. Hey, we don't want a repeat of Santa Anita where 40 horses died over a year. We don't want to be that. No, we'll let 12 die in a month. We're going to be way ahead of the curve on this one. We're going to be way ahead of the game on this. We'll get 12 to, you know, croak in a month period of time. I mean, in a year, that's only 144 horses. That's not even 40. Heck, we can way outdo that. So much crazy. Before we get out of here, let's play our Mets song again. Let's play our Mets song again. Let's hear one more time the New York Mutts song. That'll make me feel better.
F the Mets. F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring the kiddies, bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
All right, that makes me feel better. That's what's bugging Chuck Reed. All right. Top of the hour. Do we really need more threes from the Hawks? 404-726-0929. I'll open the phone lines back up to y'all. 404-726-0929. Do we need more threes from the Atlanta Hawks? Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
T
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.